Introduction. I apologize for being a bit late. Usually that would come with an excuse. I don't have a good excuse. I'm just late. A couple of weeks ago, actually more than just after Pesach, actually it was. I went with the Bachur of our yeshiva. We went on a trip to Eastern Europe. It was a prize for boys who took a test on the entire Masechta. They answered a test with 500 questions, and it was a big trip and a big prize. And some of the Balabatim also from the yeshiva came along, and we went to different Kvarim, Kibrei Tzadik, and we visited different historic sites. And one of the people who came along with us was a good friend of the yeshiva. Now this Yid was a Kohen. Now if you're going on a trip to Kibrei Tzadik, and if you're a Kohen, there's not much that you can do, because if you're a Kohen, you can't go into a Beis HaKvaris. So whenever we went somewhere, he would stand outside, he would wait, we would go in. And we would daven, he would wait, sometimes it was in the rain, sometimes it was in the sun, you know, and we would come out, we would think to ourselves, you know, what can you do if he can't come with us? Now why can't he come with us? Because thousands of years ago the Eibishter gave a Torah, and he wrote in the Torah that a Kohen may not be Netamah L'meis. Now, it would be maybe excusable, we would think to ourselves, that when we see him standing out there and we're running around, maybe it crosses our mind a thought, he's Nebuchadnezzar Kohen. You have that thought crosses your mind, or even worse, someone might think to myself, well, Baruch Hashem, I'm not a Kohen. But if one were to understand what it means to be a Kohen, you take a look in the Lashon of the Klei Yoker in Parshas Emor. The Klei Yoker explains why a Kohen may not be Latama L'meis, because of the great Kedusha there is in a Kohen. Says, how come a Kohen could be Matama to another Kohen, to his own family? Says that the Kedusha of a Kohen is so great that when his neshama leaves his guf, he says a Kohen dies a Misas Neshika like Moshe Rabbeinu. Tumas Meitz comes that when the neshama is ripped out of the guf, so the forces of Tumah want to fill that void, and there's a Tumah. But when a Kohen leaves the world, he's on such a level of Kedusha, he dies a Misas Neshika, and therefore there's no Tumah. It goes to a question then, a Kohen should be between the Tumah to any Kohen, not Dafka to his family, to Nariches in the Klei Yoker. The Tzadik writes a Loshen, Kohen Shoyrish Kol HaKedushas B'chlal Yisrael. The Kohen is the source of all of the sanctity in Klal Yisrael. Al-Kei Nikri Yisrael Mamleches Koyanim V'goy Kodosh. In the Koyanim it says V'kidashtoi, they are mashpia, all of the Kedusha comes through the Kedusha of the Kohuna. So we see a Kohen, and we think a Kohen may be a regular person. We don't recognize the Kedusha ad kedei kach, that we may think on an enjoyable trip, good thing that I'm not a Kohen. Now Rav Shimon Shrabzacher in Levracha learned in Europe, and one Shabbos he went to visit the Chofetz Chaim. Famous story, I heard it, he told it over himself. He said he had an audience with the Chofetz Chaim on Motzei Shabbos, and the Chofetz Chaim asked him, tell me, probably you heard, you know that I'm a Kohen. He says, yeah. He says, are you a Kohen? He says, no. He says, are you a Levi? He says, no. Are you Yisrael? And he said, you're Yisrael? He said, yes. He says, tell me, why aren't you a Kohen? Then how do you answer a question like that? Why am I not a Kohen? So I figured he's going to answer it himself. I better be quiet. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I'll tell you why I'm a Kohen and why you're not a Kohen. Because thousands of years ago, when there was the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi Lashem Elai, my ancestors ran to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, and your ancestors went and danced around the Egel. Now, in this generation, Hashem is calling Mi Lashem Elai. Don't make the same mistake your ancestors made then. Be like my ancestors. And yet we can think of a Kohen. It's a headache. I remember a few years ago there was a problem with the planes flying over from Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaKvaris, had to reroute them. There was some kind of had an answer to travel in a zipped up bag to sit the whole way in an airplane. Big headache to be a Kohen. But if you understand what a Kohen is, so it comes the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. The Kohen will be able to do the Avodah, and we'll be left outside. We won't be able to. but it doesn't bother us. We're not disturbed by madregas that we don't have. We tend to console ourselves and tell ourselves that everything is good. And when a person, and this refers to any madrega, okay, we can't be even if we wanted to, but we tend to just accept what we are and say, if this is the way it is, it's fine. And we're not consumed with an ambition to be more than we are. We look around ourselves and we see the condition of the world and we say, well, compared to the rest of the world, I'm doing great. And then we don't make any demands of ourselves. The Pasuk says, Kedoshim Tiyu. There's a medrash, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYisrael, Hoyel V'Kidashti Eschem L'Shmi Ad Sheloi Barasi Ha'olam. I sanctified you for my name before I created the world. L'Fikach Heyu Kedoshim K'Shem Sha'ani Kadosh. Therefore you should be Kedoshim like I am Kadosh. The Ibn Maggid explains this medrash with a marshal. There was a very wealthy man. He was looking to take a son-in-law. He wanted the best bacher in the yeshiva, the biggest ilu, the biggest masmid. So he traveled to one of the great yeshivas in Europe, and he went to the yeshiva and said, I'm looking for a chassan. I'm ready to support him. He should just sit and learn the rest of his life. I want somebody who's a genius, who's a masmid, who's a tzaddik. And the yeshiva thought, and he said, okay, this is the bacher you should take. And the shidduch was agreed upon, and they made the chassanah. And then the rich man brought him back to his town, study in his town. Now the fellow was... He started to take things easy. He wasn't learning all the starim here. He would stop for a coffee break. And he would schmooze around. And the Shrei was very disappointed. His father was disappointed. This is, you know, I thought you were going to be back. This is the big God will be Yisrael. Look at you taking it easy. So he called him up. He says, what's going on? I thought you're such a masvid. You're such a Talmud Chacham. You love to learn. Why are you wasting so much time? He says, I look around at this town. What's here? This town is a bunch of simple people. There's no great Talmud Chachamim here. No matter how much I learn, I'm still learning more than anybody else around me. I know more than anybody else around me. What do you want from me? He says, you don't understand. I didn't take you because you're the biggest Talmud Chacham in this town. I went into the yeshiva, which is the gathering of the greatest Talmud Chachamim, and I took you because you were the biggest Talmud Chacham. You were the Chashem Stabacher amongst those Chashem people, those Lame Day Torah. I expect you to be in that level of Kedusha that you rise above those who are Talmid Chachamim, who are great. Not to look around you and say, this is good enough for me. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam says, Higdashti Eschem L'Shmi Ad Sheloi Barasi Ha'olam. Sometimes we tend to look at the world and we say, the world is really sinking lower and lower, and there's such a Ruach Hatuma in the world, and we say, Baruch Hashem, look, we're Givaldik. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us to be Kedoshim before the world was created. We're not meant to compare ourselves to the Umas HaOlam or compare ourselves to those who are less than us. That's not what we were designed to be. We were meant to be Kedoshim because we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now once in a word, you say in a lane, you say, B'Shamayim Imal V'Aloretz Mitochas. Sometimes, you know, when it comes to Inyonim, of Yerushamayim, and Yonim of Shamayim, we look at people who are less than us. Oh, look, I'm doing so much better than him in Ruchnius. When it comes to Gashmius, we're always looking at the people who are better than us. He's got so much more money, so much more. I'm unhappy. The person's really the other way around. But Shamayim, in Yonim of Ruchnius, Mima, look at people who've got more than you. When it comes to Oretz, in Yonim of Gashmius, Mitochas, look at people who have less than you, and then it'll be Tzufrin. We switch it around. And we switch around our feelings for Rochnius with Gashmius. A person is meant to ask himself, how much more can I be? So Moridik Aloshan der Rabbeinu Yoinen, the Mishnah in Ovis, the Mokim She'ein Anoshim Hishtada Liyos Ish. You have to hear the words of the Rabbeinu Yoinen. If you live in a generation that people are lazy and people aren't achieving in Rochnius, you should work to achieve and to be more. And don't say that I'm going to stop, even if you reach the level that you become the wisest person in your town. Because you should say to yourself, maybe somebody somewhere else, there are people who are greater than me. Even if you reach the level of Ein Vedor Ahu Kemoyes, no one in your generation is as great as you. Say to yourself, What would I be if I would live in the generation of the Chazal, of the Tanoim and the Amiroim? And supposing you were to reach the level of Tanoim and Amiroim, say, what would I be in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's what a person is meant to tell us. Imagine, I would compare myself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet the mission is telling us, B'mokim she'ein anoshim, if you look around and you see there's nobody, you don't see people are growing, people are achieving, that's not a reason to say it's okay for me not to achieve. What do I have to do with anybody else? I have a neshama, I have a tachlis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me with a purpose in life. And I shouldn't satisfy myself with less and say that it's okay just to sail through life and not accomplish the mission that I was destined and that I was prepared, that I was given the kelim to accomplish. You know what's available for us to achieve? There's a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ma tshuva heshivosei baskel lo'oyse rosho. What did the baskel answer Nebuchadnezzar when he said, Ala albom say of Adama le'elyon. I will rise up and I compare myself le'elyon. I will be like Taviyoch, like the Rebbeinu Shalom. Yotas a baskel v'omra. And the baskel said, Rosha ben benoy shel nimrod ha'rosha. You wicked one, the son of a wicked one, the descendant of Nimrod the Rosha. How many years does a person live? 70 years. In Begvurois he lives 80 years. Min ha'oretz ad l'rakia, to travel from the oretz until the heaven is a mahalach of chomesh me'oy shana. It takes 500 years. The oivyav shel rakia, the thickness of the firmament, is another mahalach of 500 years. There are zayin rakia, between each rakia or rakia, there's another 500 years. Then you reach the Chayos HaKodesh, the angels that are called Chayos HaKodesh. Raglei HaChayos, just the feet of the Chayos, are Keneged Kulam, are as big as all the Zion Rakiyim combined, the 500 years of each one, with the spaces in between. Karsulei HaChayos, then the calves of the Chayos, are again Keneged Kulam. Shoikei HaChayos, is the upper part of the leg, is again Keneged Kulam. Ruchuve achayes keneged kulam. Yarche achayes, the hips are keneged kulam. Gufe achayes, the torso of the chayes, are again, all that included exponentially, again and again, times the entire that you had before. Tzavre achayes, the neck of the chayes, are again keneged kulam. Roshe achayes, again keneged kulam, including all that, multiply it again. Karne achayes, again keneged kulam. On top of that is the Kisei HaKovet. The feet of the Kisei HaKovet are also Keneged Kulam. The Kisei HaKovet is again Keneged Kulam. And the Melech Kelchai V'Kayim Rom V'Nisa Shoichein Aleim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the Kisei HaKovet. V'Atom Amatim, you say, Adam Ele Elyon, Achel Sho'el Turad El Yarkisei Bor. Who do you think you are, Nebuchadnezzar? The distance, the vast journeys from here until the Rebbeinu Shlom, you say Adam Ele Elyon. So Rav Dessler said, "Amoyer Dikab Shad on this Gemara." Says, "What does it mean? The 500 years of travel? What does it mean? It means with a spaceship? What does it mean?" Because we're talking about Madregas in Ruchnius, how much a person can grow. Every single achievement in Ruchnius, if a person wants to be more than he is, he wants to grow a level. The levels go. If you really want to, Bederech HaTeva. Imagine if a person would work on himself day and night, 24 hours a day, on a Midah, or on Torah, or on Kiddush, whatever it is. It would take him 500 years of constant Avodah, relentless toil, to go up one level. And then again, toil equal all of that Keneged Kulam to go on one level. But Ayoz, the Torah wasn't given the Malachi Asharis. And the Rebbeinu Shlom knows that we're limited in our energy and how much we can do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you start, and if you begin, I'll give you Sliyata D'Shemayim, and you will be able to rise levels of 500 year journeys. The chutzpah of Nebuchadnezzar was that Nebuchadnezzar thought, I could do it on my own without the help of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Adam Ele Elyon, I have my own power. Ame Yesh B'fnei Atzmi. But this is what's available to every single one of us. All of us have the potential for enormous growth. Yet it doesn't even bother us. The fact that I'm not any more today than I was last week, or that maybe, chas v'shalom, the other way, maybe I'm less than I was last week or last year. We tend to tell ourselves everything is fine, everything is good, and we don't demand of ourselves that we grow. What is the source of that? Where does that sense of satisfaction, that apathy come from? That we just ignore our mission, and we're perfectly happy, like the person who's happy not to be a kohen, or not to have a madrega, and it doesn't even bother us. We don't even think that there's so much more to life than what we see before our eyes. The Shoresh HaDavar, Rabbeisai, is from this Mishnah. From the Mishnah of B'mokim She'ein Ish Hishtadoi Liyes Ish. What is an Ish? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Everything in the world is Zohar U'Nekevah. There's Mashpia and there's Mekabel. Ish always represents the Indian of being Mashpia, of giving forth, of taking charge, of doing. That is represented in the Bria, the term Ish. We live in a generation of being Mekablin. We want to take. We don't look at ourselves as being capable of being Mashpian, of taking charge, of taking achrayas. I was recently at a chasana, and I'm sitting next to a certain Rosh Yeshiva. So Rosh Yeshiva is an American born, a little bit from a earlier generation, just after the war he was born. And he was talking to me, he was telling me his life's history. And that when he was growing up, his parents were Yidden who came out, you know, they were survivors. And they just about sent him to yeshiva, they sent him to high school. When it came time to go to the smedesh, they didn't want he should go to the smedesh, b'shum oifen. And they said he should go to college and he should study, and he wanted very much to stay in yeshiva. But he did, his mother wanted him to study and get a degree, he got a degree in accounting. And he decided very much he wants to go to yeshiva. And he came to a yeshiva, and he said to the yeshiva, I would like to come learn. He said, sure, you're welcome. He said, look, I got a problem. He says, I can't afford to pay tuition. And my parents aren't going to pay because they don't even want me to be in yeshiva. So the yeshiva says, look, I'll tell you what, you want to learn, you can come without paying tuition. He says, yeah, I know that, but there's dormitory and there's food that costs you. So how could I take that from you? It was the boy talking. How could I take that from you if there's no one paying for it? He says, you know what? So I have a degree in accounting. Maybe I'll get some work by somebody in the firm that I can work one day a week. And from that salary, I'll pay the cost, the upkeep for my dormitory and for my meals. That was the deal. He would go once a week, he would go to work, and with that he would pay what it cost, part of the expenses to keep him in yeshiva. I'm listening to this story, and I'm trying to imagine, like when I was a kid growing up, like the word tuition was something, you know, that adults spoke about. It was like mortgages or the stock market or cholesterol. I walk into yeshiva, of course, everybody's there to serve me. It doesn't even enter my mind that there's somebody who has achrayas, that I've got to do something. To think that there was a time not long ago when a teenager walked into yeshiva and thought, you know, I've got an achrayas here, there's somebody I'm costing, and I've got to be an ish. I've got to have a responsibility, and it's not just coming to me. It's today, to our generation, is so foreign, we can't even imagine, because we're so used to being mekablin. There's a Rosh Yeshiva in Muncie who insists, the chasharid, an elderly, that the bachram, when they come to yeshiva, the schalim, or the tuition that their parents send, the bachar has to take it in an envelope and hand it over to the yeshiva himself. The boy should at least know their parents are paying for them to learn. He says, no, I don't want to give it to you. He says, he prefers you should give it in cash. So the boy should feel the money, he should feel the cash, and hand it over, and know that someone's being paid for. We've so lost touch with the attitude that we are achroi. We live in a world where everything is magiali. And you can have children, you can have on Erev Shabbos, the mother is struggling to get Shabbos ready, and the children, the daughter could be sitting on the couch talking on the telephone, talking to her friend, and no one even thinks there's something strange or something odd over here. What's going on? What's happening? Why do we think that we are just mekablim? There's no musig of ishtadel liyois ish. know, I remember the day of my bar mitzvah. My Zayde was a rav, an old style Ungarish rav. And the day is the morning before, but I was going to come to bar mitzvah that night. He asked me, he says, "Oh, Ephraim, are you excited to become bar mitzvah?" So I said, "No." He says, "Why not excited?" I said, "Well, it's so much responsibility, you know. Till now, I'm potter. Anything I do, I'm not achroi. And now, suddenly, everything you do, you get a schar, you get an oynish. It's much easier to be a cotton." Nunu, so trust my Zayde Zecherin Levracha, that night of the bar mitzvah, he took the whole story and put it into his drasha. Said, "This morning I asked the bar mitzvah bocher, are you excited to become bar mitzvah? And he said, 'No, I'm not excited to become bar mitzvah.'" This was the opening of his drasha. "Hab ich gesagt for mein Enkel," I said to my grandchild, "the Pasuk says, 'Loi soguru mipnei ish,'" which means "don't be afraid of a man." I say, "Loi soguru mipnei ish," don't be afraid to be an ish. Don't be afraid of responsibility. Don't be afraid of being an ish, of being a person who has to give rather than just a person who takes. Don't be afraid of that, because that's the real essence, that's the meaning of a true, meaningful life. Do you know why we don't have an ambition? We tell ourselves that everything is fine, because we know that growth comes with responsibility. Growth comes with nesina. And to achieve greatness, it means that I have to be an ish. And we're not trained to be an ish. We like to be a makabel. So we tell ourselves everything is fine, and I don't have to be more than I am. That's the root of it. And that's why we convince ourselves that we don't have to grow. I went to be Menachem Avil recently. Somebody, an elderly Yid who was nifta, and Menachem Avil his children. And this man was once a wealthy man. He lost a lot of money. And the latter part of his life, he was a shamish in a shul. He earned $70 a week. God, a very special person. Not the latter part, he's going back many years. For many years he was the shamish. He earned very little. He was a very poor man. When the old Sklener Rebbe came to America the first time, and he was talking about the conditions of the Jews in Romania, with the danger, what sakana they lived in, he said that for $3,000, this is going back to the 1960s, for $3,000 you can bring an entire family out of Romania. He said, "When are the Yidna ready to do that?" This man who earned $70 a week went the next day. He heard there's a gemach in Crown Heights where you could borrow large amounts of money for long-term payment. He borrowed $3,000. He spent years paying it back, and he went, he took the $3,000, he gave it to the Sklener Rebbe, "Bring out a family." Ishtadal, b'mokim she'ein anoshim, ishtadal liyas ish means, you know, sometimes when there comes achrayas, and we have to rise to the occasion, we see no one's doing anything, so we cover ourselves and say, "Don't look at me. I want to hide." B'mokim she'ein ish, run away. B'mokim she'ein ish, ishtadal, you be the one. Think, I've got to do it. Where did it enter this person's mind when he heard you can bring out a family from Romania, that's my responsibility? Where did it come from? So they think, "Well, I'm doing with me." He means the gvirim, the rich people, they got to do it. But this person was an ish. This person was a mashpia. This person understood that he is a noisei. He wasn't afraid to be an ish. Instead of, "There's a need, I have to rise to the occasion." How do we develop this feeling? I'll tell you another story that happened when we were on this trip to Europe. We went to visit a town called Radeshitz, where the Heilige Radeshitz is buried. We came in the middle of the night, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's a long dirt road you had to walk up to get to the cave, and we davened there. It's a big Malkum Tefillah, davened there for about an hour, and we come down, and there we travel with a beautiful coach bus, big bus, and then we have this Polish bus driver, and he comes running toward us, big problem. He says, "What's the problem?" We look at the whole bus, there's no roads, they were just a mud road. The whole bus sank into the ground, the wheels are buried in the thing, and he's turning, he can't, there's nothing you could do. So we're stuck in, and we had a flight, we were leaving a few hours later, and he gets all the bachim, tried to push, behind the bush. You know, he's turning the wheels. There's mud splattering all over. He's with a shovel. He's under. He's covered from head to toe. He's a big, heavy guy. He was covered from head to toe with mud. It was a sight to see. You can't even imagine what it looked like. And there's nothing we can. So he said, "Okay." So you know, today's the day of cell phones. So we were able to get home. We called. Can you imagine? You know, the Radashitz auto. You know, it's just, I don't know what you would call it, you know, to the rescue team to come pull us out of the mud. You're talking about backward, you know, they still have don't have indoor plumbing yet many of the places here. So we got hold of somebody. Then we see we started davening. So we're going to daven, and we davened outside. And just as we get to the psukim, Eila Varechav, Eila Basusim, suddenly coming to see a cloud of dust in the distance, the Polish cavalry to the rescue. And we see a sight, I'm telling you, we burst out laughing. It was this contraption, a tractor, it must have been from 1925. These huge wheels, the thing is swaying back and forth, he can barely stand on it, and he's riding to the rescue, and he comes with this tractor, and he ties a cable to the bus, and he starts to push and to push, he's pulling, and we're all looking like, this is impossible. But he's pulling and pulling and pulling, and slowly you hear a groan like from deep in the ground, and you hear a creaking, and he pulls the bus out of the mud. Unbelievable. This tractor was about a tenth of the size of the bus. And yet it managed to pull out the bus out of the ground. So I asked him, how does this work? I mean, the engine doesn't compare to the engine of the bus. You don't understand. Said the tractor is a four-wheel drive, and the bus is only a two-wheel drive. Works on a completely different system. If you would go with the same system as the bus, no matter how much strength you would use, you wouldn't be able to get it out. But when it works with a different system of traction, it's going on a different seder, even if it's much weaker than the bus, it can pull it out of the mud. Sometimes we're in the mud, we want to get out of the mud, we don't realize we have to stop using a different system of machshava. We have to think differently. Within the very same system of who I am, it's very hard to make any progress. Something has to click in a person's mind. You know, the reason that I'm not advancing, the reason that I'm content to be who I am, is because I'm part of a system of being a makabel. I never looked at myself as someone who was an ish, someone who is a mashpia. Thinks a mashpia means only somebody who's mashpia to thousands of people. Each person himself is an ish. He's a source of hashpo, he's a source of greatness. He's a source of accomplishment. If I would suddenly would click in my mind that that's what I'm here for, I'm here to do, I'm here to achieve greatness, we would be able to drag ourselves out of the mud. Even if we're weak, and even if we don't have the strength, but when that attitude gets into us, then suddenly we feel we're not content with our lot. We demand better, we demand perfection. Rabbi Yoinah Forrest was one of the Rosh Yeshiva in the Nitri Yeshiva. And after the war, the Bochrim who survived the Nitri Yeshiva, they transported them to America in order to reestablish the Yeshiva in Mount Kisco. Now on the way, so you had a bunch of Bachrim, a whole kvutza of Bachrim, they were all war orphans, nobody had any parents, they were all on their own. And the joint, one of these organizations, hosted them. They had spent a Shabbat, I think it was in Paris, somewhere in France, in a 5-star hotel. And this was meant to be their first Shabbos of freedom in a 5-star hotel. And there were many other people there. And Mechober Weissmandel, who was the yeshiva, who already was in America, he traveled from America to meet the yeshiva Bachrim in France. And he came in on Erev Shabbos, and he saw the Bachrim there, and he looked around, and he said, he's not happy with the standard of Tzniyah here. There's a lot of Taruvus, there's mixing. This is not a place for Bachrim to be on Shabbos. So we have to find some. He says, Rebbe, it's a few hours before Shabbos. He says, no, he found some old dinky hotel, and he transferred them all over to this other place, and they spent Shabbos there. So Rebbe Yoinah said, he says, you know, one would think, boys who went through the war, they just lost everything. Let them have one pleasant geschmacket. Let them once enjoy a 5-star hotel. Let them have it. And Mechober saw that the situation there, or the situation of Pritzus, it's a danger to the Elochnius. He said, I'm not going to settle for less, even if it's a day after the war. I want greatness for these boys. And he took them over, and the Bochum remembered it was such a Shabbos, says there was such learning, there was such meters, it was like a Shabbos in Gan Eden, it was Me'ein and Muhammad. He wouldn't settle for less because of the situation. Where did it come from? Why? Why was he able to do? Why was he able to see what others couldn't see? He was. You think he didn't have Rachmanis on the Bach? He was the softest person in the world. He never. Every tefillah used to cry tears. His davening was so. You know, Zayda lived in London. He was an old yid who lived in Achim. He grew up in Vienna. He once had a sheva brach. He told over a story how he remembers coming in to a shul in Vienna. Davening was at 8 o'clock. He came about a half hour early, and there. Standing at the Amud all on his own was Rav Mechorah Ber Weissman. He happened to be in Vienna then, and he was saying Tillim at the Amud in an empty Besmedrish, and he was crying such tears. He was saying with such Hishtabchas on Nefesh, he was saying Tillim. And my grandfather at the Shebach, as he was telling over the story, he collapsed into tears. He couldn't continue. Just remembering Rav Mechorah Ber's Tillim, he had to sit down. He said, I can't continue the drasha. That was what a person you're talking about. And Rav Mechorah Ber, that soft, sensitive neshama, was able to look at an oilam and say, this is not what you're destined for. You know why? Because he was the ultimate hishtadol liyos hish. After the war in Switzerland, he had a heart attack, and he was suffering, he was in terrible pain, he was in the hospital, he was crying and crying. And one of the rabbonim went to him and said, you know, everybody went through tzaras. Everybody lost their families, they're not the only one. You know, the tzaras rabbin, and you have to get over it, you have to, really says, you think I'm crying about my wife and five children? He says, I know that was a gezeira min hashamayim. I've accepted that. I'm crying about the 20,000 yidn who I had in my hands. I could have saved them, and they were grabbed out of my hands. I can't live with that. He looked at the churban of Europe, and he thought, what could I have done? I could have saved more. There was a yid who lived in Pressburg. Remember, there was the curfews then, and you weren't allowed to go out onto the street. And it was such a terror, there was a story, one person, the Kehillah, stuck his head out the window to look what's going on, he was shot, he was killed. And Rechol Ber Weissman, who was Oisik then in Hatzalah work, used to walk the streets with the Vivir and Payas without fear, with Sakonis Lefosh, as he told over, he was the only person, this fellow had a telephone, the only telephone in the town. And it came curvy, as we used to pile the furniture and the carpets against the windows and against the doors, so nobody should dare go out because he knew it was Sakonis Nefashos. Ramachol Ben needed a telephone, he had to call Switzerland for his contacts to send money to save Eden, and he was walking through the streets, we were watching him, we thought it was an angel, a malach walking between, we couldn't believe it, the Germans didn't even look, they didn't say anything to him, and he came knocking on the door, and he said he needs to use the telephone, so we quickly opened it, we let him inside, and after he finished speaking, he says he has to go, he says, Rebbe, you can't leave, you can't, it's dangerous, how can you walk outside? He says, what do you mean? Ich brauch gehen. I have to go. There's work to be done. He wouldn't take no for an answer. He understood, I am an ish. It's my achrayas. When somebody feels that way, he won't accept mediocrity. He won't be content to say everything is okay. Because he's developed inside the sensitivity to being an ish. If we don't have that feeling, we let our years waste. Rav Dessler once said, you find sometimes small people who accomplish things for Klal Yisrael far greater than they themselves are. You find people created Moistas HaTorah, created movements for Klal Yisrael. And he in his great Anibus, he was talking about himself, that he established the gates at Koil. And he said, you know why? There's sometimes when Klal Yisrael needs something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just waiting for somebody to do it, anybody to step in. B'mokim she'ein anoshim ishtadol liyos ish means there's such siyata d'shmaya, anybody who would do it would be matzliach. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, for years, you know, today, say there's not a Jewish house that doesn't have a Mishnah Berurah, or a few sets of Mishnah Berurah. Chofetz Chaim is the Pesik Achron, we live by his Psakim, the Psakim of the Mishnah Berurah, the final word, the final authority in Klal Yisrael. The Chofetz Chaim said, I went around for years begging Yungelait, young men, Talmidei Chachamim, and I said, there's a need today to have a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch HaRechaim that brings all the Shitas and Paskins L'maisa, and somebody has to do it. And I begged this one and that one, And you should know there was a time of Siyata Deshemaya, anybody could have done it. Nobody listened to me, I had to do it myself. And he said that when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah, he had so many times Siyata Deshemaya, the times he needed a safe, he just came out of the shell, the page would open up itself to where it went to open up. He says, all these people, he says, I'm an old man, where do I have koyach? So many people could have done it. Nobody grabbed the opportunity. A person doesn't realize he could be a person who the whole world rests on if he decides that he's an ish. And again, it doesn't have to mean in things that everybody knows about. It doesn't have to be in things that the whole world depends on, that all of Klal Yisrael depends on. Each person in his own little world, in his own surroundings, in his own mishpacha, or within his own self, there's so many great heights, so many mountains to conquer that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam knows about. For one person, maybe his private Nisayon that no one in the world knows about. If he is an ish, if he looks at himself as a person with gevura, he changes his system and thought of saying, why is this Nisayon being given to me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has destined me for greatness, and greatness can mean that very thing itself. Overcoming this Nisayon, overcoming this Mida, helping somebody, joining something, recognizing that I have an achrayas, that I am an ish, even though we live in a world of mekablim, where it's so ingrained into us, we just expect this is coming to me, that is coming to me, and we pay a terrible price. The price that we pay for that attitude is stagnation. The price that we pay for that is that we stay who we are and tell ourselves that it's okay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helfen. We should be zeiche to see the destiny that's within every one of us. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us to move the world and change the world. Some ways, some people in ways that people know about, others change the world in a way that nobody knows about. Nobody knows about. But he's changed the world because in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's world he did something great. But to remember that greatness is the inheritance of each and every one of us. Greatness is not just for people everybody heard of. Every yochid, hishtadol liyos ish, recognize I can be a mashpia, I'm meant to be a mashpia. I have the capacity for godless, that the entire world can rest upon. Or one could just make the choice to look at my life, look at everybody around me and say, everything is fine. Let me continue to sail alone until he'll come to Olam Habo, and then he'll be shown what he could have accomplished. He'll be shown, and then the tzar, the goyim says that the biggest tzar of Gehenna, even before Gehenna, he says the worst tzar is when the neshama leaves the guf. They show the person what he could have accomplished, and the pain, the agony, is so intense that a normal person would die from the pain. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a chiyas, the neshama should be able to continue to live, because otherwise the neshama wouldn't be able to bear it, would expire from agony. That's the worst Gehenna that there is. And we'll see what each and every one of us was designed for, was capable for, and how we let ourselves be fooled by the ruach around us, and telling ourselves it doesn't mean me, greatness is not me. And I am content to be who I am and just remain a makabel. If we would adjust our systems to think that way, we can get out of the mud. Even if we're not that strong, even if we're not that powerful. HaKadosh Baruch should give us the siyata deshmaya, the wisdom and the vision. We should be able to look into our pnimiyos and understand that we don't even begin to know ourselves. There's so much in there, endless. We see a fraction of what there is. There's so much there, so much that could be done, so much that could be accomplished. Because Baruch Hu should give us the koiches ha-nefesh. We should be able to serve Him according to our good and precious ritzonos. Because Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to grow and to achieve, and to will be zeicher to greet Mashiach to kainu b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.